Good morning, and welcome to the Monte Vista Church of Christ. My name is Tom Boren, and I'm one of the members here. Visitors, we are especially grateful to have you here, and thank you for the encouragement that you give each of us. On the fourth Sunday of each month, the elders have invited men of the congregation to preach a lesson. This morning is my opportunity. At the beginning of this year, Mitch asked if I would like to preach a lesson. And my first thought was, there's no way I can talk that long. He said, well, Homer, I guess we will get out to lunch early that morning. You can see I'm now preaching the first sermon. Then in July, he checked in with me about the lesson, and I mentioned to him that since I would be preaching first, I was still a little nervous. And he said not to worry, we would have some extra time in between, or I could let the teachers of the classes know to be ready to teach a little longer that morning. Point is, I appreciated very much the continued positive and nurturing attitude that he had with me. I would also like to take a moment to thank those men who have stepped outside of their comfort zones on the four Sundays to preach. Their willingness to do this has and should be an encouragement to all of us. I can remember Ken preaching to us, and he would say that this lesson is for me, but you can listen if you like. And that is the way I feel about the lesson this morning. After I agreed to preach, I began thinking of what I would like to discuss. My mind kept coming back to attitude. So this morning, I would like to discuss about being a Christian daily, our attitude and our actions. This is something I struggle with daily. So having my mind focused on it for the last several months and preparing for this lesson has been a good thing. Good, bad, positive, negative, optimistic, pessimistic, godly, worldly, even nice and mean. These are just a few of the terms that come to mind when I think of different attitudes. Which term do you think best describes your attitude? Roger Shouse was here back in 2012 and for a gospel meeting, and he talked one evening about attitude, and he indicated that everyone has an attitude, and if you think about it, your attitude is the lens of your life. Your attitude does a few things. It reveals the real you. It shows others what is important to you. It is the greatest factor in determining success or failure in all that you do. And it affects all of our relationships. Your attitude can be affected, though, by outside influences such as health and finances, work, relationships, weather, even being hungry. This past summer, my family and I are covered on my medical plan through my employer. This past July, my employer and the insurance offered us a monetary incentive to get a physical and complete the assessment online. So Lisa and I went in and we had our blood work done and we spoke to the doctor. A few days later, I called to get the numbers from that blood work to then complete the online health assessment. As the lady gave me my numbers, she mentioned that I had a depressed thyroid and that I would need to get blood work done again in a month or so to compare the results. Nothing further was said in regards to this depressed thyroid, so when Lisa and I were discussing, we did some research into what the effects were of a depressed thyroid. Some of those symptoms include fatigue, forgetfulness, weight gain, and irritability. Well, the next time she called me out on having a short attitude or being grumpy, I tried to use the excuse that I have a medical condition. This did give us a chuckle, but in reality, your attitude is always your choice. There are a few things that we can do to help us have a good attitude. We can dump the junk that spoils a good attitude. As the song from Frozen says, let it go. We can start thinking, speaking, and doing positively. No matter what happens, we can look for good, and we can fix our attention on Jesus. I read a quote from Pat Summitt, who was a legendary college women's basketball coach. And she said, if I'm not leading by example, then I'm not doing the right thing. And I always want to do the right thing. I think this quote helps sum up what we as individuals need to consider when it comes to our attitude and actions. We need to consider the impact of having the right attitude on both ourselves and others around us. We need to be focused on doing the right thing. So what does the Bible say about attitude? Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1, 27 through 30. There we read, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Paul's telling us, no matter what unexpected disruptions, frustrations, or trials come our way, we need to respond with a Christ-like attitude. Paul later writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross." And then in Ephesians 5, verse 1, he tells us, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." This makes me think about little kids and how they like to imitate their parents. I can remember seeing pictures of my dad going out to cut the grass, and there I was, dragging a plastic lawnmower. Kids want to imitate what they see and hear from their parents. After I had my own kids, I can remember driving, and it's an activity that can obviously cause a lot of stress and bad attitudes, being out on the road. I can remember when Emma was small and in her car seat in the back, and someone had just done something in front of me, and I can remember saying, "What in the world?" And then there was that little voice in the back saying, "What in the world?" The point is that children hear and they see most everything we adults do, and they want to imitate us. This is the attitude we as Christians need to have with Jesus Christ. As the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through chapter 3, verse 1, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." Everything we read about Jesus in the Bible, we need to try to imitate in our lives. So now that we have our attitude squared away, what should our daily actions be as a Christian? An example of Christian living is described by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For the past 10 years, I've had the opportunity to coach both of my kids in soccer, to coach my niece Faith, to coach Addison here, and Brenna. It's a treat to watch the kids enjoy themselves, play hard. They demonstrate the skills that they have worked so hard to improve. The biggest shock I have found is the competitive nature, or should I say the attitude, that coaches and parents have during these games. Cheering and encouraging our kids and their teams is one thing, but seeing people get upset with the refs and other parents and what can be heard coming from them is a shock. Now, I have had my moments I'm not proud of, where I have yelled and had a hot temper with the official. But we need to remember verse 8 from our previous reading. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Or as we read in James 1, verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Remember that we are created in the image of God. Let us make sure that our actions are those of a Christian. Now, most of us can probably think back in our lives to an example that they may have had shown to them of being a Christian. I'd like to share with you my example. 24 years ago, I was a 22-year-old college student who thought he had it all going for him. Going to school, living on my own, had a job, had hair, had a beautiful girlfriend. My girlfriend and I had been dating for a while and enjoyed each other's company immensely. That is why it came as such a shock one day to find ourselves sitting in Wheeler Park in downtown Flagstaff. It was not a shock to be with her in the park, but that we were both crying and discussing how we needed to break up. We had a problem. She was a member of the Church of Christ, and I was not. In fact, other than once or twice attending with her, I did not go to church. It seems that my lifestyle was pulling her away from being a Christian. The things that I valued in my life, other than her, were things that were creating a stumbling block between us. I would like to say that after we had this discussion, that I realized the error of my ways, corrected the things in my life that needed to be corrected. But no, we left that day both incredibly sad and apart from one another. You see, she had realized that her life as a Christian was what needed to come first, and that her actions needed to match her Christian attitude. I left that day questioning what had just happened. How could we be apart when we enjoyed each other's company so much? Days led to weeks. Weeks led to months. I want to say it was somewhere between 6 and 9 months later, we ran into one another and started talking. That talking led us to dating and getting back together. Her actions that day in Wheeler Park had planted the seed that led me to question my beliefs and what was a priority in my life. It had taken some time, but I realized that I needed to develop a relationship with God. She and I started to study with the preacher, and on June 10th, 1993, I was baptized. Her commitment to God and wanting to do what is right continued to amaze me to this day. Now, 22 years later, I continue to thank God every day for my wife and for her Christian example that day back in 1992, as well as every day thereafter. We each as Christians have the ability to make an impact in someone's life. We need to first get our attitude right with God, and then through our attitude and actions, we will be able to make the impact in the life of those around us. If you are here today and you've not become a Christian, you need to. The steps to becoming a Christian are clear. First, you need to hear the word of God in Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Secondly, you must believe. John 8, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Third, you must repent. In Acts 2, verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next, one must confess. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus states, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Finally, one must be baptized. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now it may be that you're a Christian, but that your attitude and actions have not been that of a Christian. That sin has gotten the better of you, and that you may need to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need may be, please come forward as together we stand and sing.